Chapter 5. Compatibility. How can you be sure? From the outset, it looked like an uneasy partnership. A Puerto Rican-born American and a Belarusian. But they set out anyway to dominate the women's tennis doubles world. Gigi Fernandez and Natasha Zvereva became a powerful and hugely successful doubles act in the style of the great Shriver-Navratilova partnership. Virtually unbeatable, they won 38 tournaments together, including 9 Grand Slams. Yet, they barely understood a word each other said. The pair later explained that they knew instinctively what the other planned to do. With little more than the occasional grunt of affirmation, they worked together as one of the most successful sporting partnerships of the late 20th century. Their relationship involved more than just an element of ESP. They shared not only the same drive for success, but also a sense of fun, regularly laughing, and, as one commentator put it, lighting up the court with their smiles. Each knew when to stand back and let the other connect with the ball so that both could share the fruits of victory. In an ideal world, most of us would seek these ingredients in a business partnership. However, the chances of encountering such a person and being able to rely on nothing more than instinct and trust in building a productive relationship are low. Or think of it this way. If you don't intuitively hit it off with your date, a partnership probably won't work. This is what happened between car maker Henry Ford II and Lee Iacocca. Iacocca, who worked for the Ford Motor Company at the time, was considered odds-on favorite to be chosen by Chairman Ford as his new CEO. When Ford selected Philip Caldwell instead, the furious Iacocca demanded an explanation from his boss. That's when Ford delivered the famous put-down, "I just don't like you." So before you even get down to drafting a prenup agreement, it's important to identify and deal with any possible impediments to the partnership. This is a sort of due diligence process that goes beyond merely the getting-to-know-you stuff in order to conclude your potential partner's history, personality, and values. It works from either side of the telescope. That is to say, you could be the owner of a business considering taking on one or more new partners, or you might be an individual who's being considered for partnership. Either way, there are critical things you need to know about your opposite number so that you can make an informed judgment. Is she Ms. Right? Conduct this process as early as possible in the partnership discussions, so you don't waste time on later stages if you discover something amiss. Like the song goes, "Getting to know you, getting to know all about you." How you start depends on how well you already know the other person. If it's someone you work with or know professionally, you'll already have a feel about compatibility and working relationships. If you don't know her or barely know her, initial meetings will establish the degree of rapport. You might want to arrange to meet her family, too. This will give you a remarkable insight into her behavior and values. It might be appropriate to flush out some of the issues by inviting her to try a personality assessment tool, such as the Berkman test mentioned earlier. You need to know and understand key elements of personality and attitude beyond purely the business arena. They're generally immutable, that is, these are imprinted traits that are unlikely to change, no matter what the circumstances. These are aspects you'll have to live with. You need to know, for example, what's her basic disposition? Is she easygoing or inclined to lose her temper? What's her telephone manner like? How does she respond in stressful situations? Are there cultural differences between you? What effect might these have? Because cultural differences can engender misunderstandings that easily escalate. Do you share a sense of humor? If not, What are your respective reactions to the other's jokes? Bemusement? Offense? If somebody adores sports jokes and someone else might be telling naughty or off-color jokes, is that something you can both live with? What are your partner's social skills? Can she hold a conversation? Can she hold her liquor? Can she hold her tongue when necessary? How does she dress? Because whether we like it or not, appearances are important, and we are the primary ambassadors of our business. Do you get a sense of her spending style and habits? Is she impulsive or inclined to act without consulting others? How does she handle money in her personal life? And we're going to touch on some more of the money issues in a later chapter. How does your partner accept critical feedback? Does she always need to be right? Is your partner growing or stagnant? Is she stuck in her ways, or does she continue to take classes to enhance her business education and personal growth? I had a client who saw his partnership disintegrate for personal growth reasons. Ivo and Larry were great friends in a mentor-mentee kind of way and started a consulting practice together. Ivo had had many more years of experience in the field, and Larry looked to Ivo for his expertise. But Larry also took classes on business management, finance, and marketing, in addition to building his own self-confidence through personal development seminars. But the more Larry grew, the more Ivo shrank back into his comfort zone, which was merely advising the clients on the areas he already knew. But this left Larry handling all other aspects of running the company, including Larry's own share of the client consulting. Ivo refused to abide by the sound financial management principles that Larry tried to implement, and Ivo would veto the ideas that Larry wanted to put into place to build the company. Eventually, Larry realized he had outgrown Ivo, and by the time he came to me, he was ready to dissolve his partnership. Once you feel comfortable, though, that you have a sense of your prospective partner's personality and temperament and growth potential, switch on your searchlight to learn more about his or her background. While precedence is not prophecy, you need to know his history, just as you would want to know about a romantic partner. For instance, has he been bankrupt? And if so, what's his explanation for it? Does it make sense? Most business partners don't ask these key questions, and sometimes they suffer the consequences of a bad choice. All the other stars may align, but a little nosing around could alert you to serious issues that a face-to-face conversation may not reveal. Your possible future partner should not be surprised that you want to establish his or her credentials and get independent corroboration of the statements they're making. They should trust that you're taking these steps precisely because you are serious about moving forward, and that you'll keep whatever you learn confidential. These are steps we expect business people to take. After all, you'd consider checking references before hiring an employee or a contractor. This is your business livelihood, not a casual dalliance. Issues you will want to clarify should include legal, criminal, and bankruptcy checks. These are mostly available from public records. You'll want to look into previous business activities to get a full understanding, not just of what your potential partner did, but why he quit, if he did, or why the business failed, if it did. And references. Try to obtain these from peers, past businesses, and professional acquaintances. Compatibility case study. For the want of a background check, the credit was lost. The ability to secure outside financing for your business can play a crucial role in its ability to grow and expand. For example, Robin and Chris started a company to manufacture a new line of pet toys. Robin and Chris had gone to veterinary school together. They lost touch for a while, but when they reconnected and started talking about their practices, they learned that each had had experiences with dogs who were really stressed out, a factor not helped by their really stressed out owners who lived in big cities and who traveled a lot with their pets. They were looking for ways to calm the dogs of their anxiety and help them restore their normal sense of play. They hit upon the idea of a line of pet toys. They started a company, drafted a business plan, yes, in that order, and got to work on a series of prototypes. They provided all of the initial funding themselves to manufacture the prototypes and hire legal counsel to file the necessary patents. The toys caught the interest of a national pet store chain, and at that point, Robin and Chris needed to manufacture the toys on a larger scale than either could fund individually. They approached their bank to discuss the possibility of getting a loan or a line of credit for the company. Only then did it come out that Chris had gone through a personal bankruptcy proceeding 4 years earlier. The bank would not lend to the company unless both owners were individual co-signers of the loan, and the bank didn't want Chris on the loan because he was too much of a credit risk. Because the bank wouldn't lend the company money, they had to get financing from another source, or else have to renege on their agreement with the pet store chain and probably abandon their dream. Ultimately, it was Robin who secured a line of credit from a credit agency, but the interest rate was much higher than the bank loan would have been. Also, Robin had to provide a personal guarantee for the line of credit, which Chris did not, because his poor credit wasn't considered as part of the application. Although Chris agreed to pay his fair share of the line, both recognized that Robin had now undertaken a much greater burden on behalf of the business than either had anticipated. So how does this apply to you? Especially in times when credit is tight, you want to know that you'll be sharing the financial burden equally with your active, that is, your non-investor partners. If you can't for whatever reason, you want to know those factors right up front before you start plowing ahead with your business plans. Had Robin known that she might have to shoulder an added financial burden, she might have negotiated profit percentages differently. Moving on to principles and beliefs. With regard to values, I mean the principles and beliefs about what is good, right, and desirable that guide the way a person behaves. Obviously, you must clarify your own values before comparing those of your possible partner. They represent one significant area where incompatibility could be a recipe for disaster. Your values and your value system, that is, the ways in which you prioritize and make decisions based on your values, provide the foundation for your personal and professional judgments and choices. Some values have a greater action-oriented focus, such as achieving money, security, or power. Others have a more spiritually oriented focus, such as acting honestly, respecting other people, and valuing family. The key is to focus less on whether you and your partner act out your values in exactly the same way to the same degree, and more on whether you can abide by the choices the other partner makes. Here are some questions that will help provide some insight. Does your potential partner share and display the characteristics of an entrepreneur, a determination to succeed, and a willingness to work hard? Do you share views on timing and deadlines? Do you have the same sense of urgency about things? Can you identify your partner's ability to manage others? How might he relate to other employees? What does customer service mean to each of you? How does your partner demonstrate integrity and honesty? How important are those values? In all of these questions, make sure to ask for examples. Don't just rely on your partner's statements about values. It's one thing for your partner to say,
I think honesty is important.
It's quite another to hear her tell you that, a few months ago, a customer overpaid me $1,000. I called to let him know and refunded the excess within the week. There are also questions to ask about integrating personal values with business policies. Review these in your face-to-face meetings when you're talking about work and lifestyle during your business agreement working sessions. They're also discussed more in Chapter 8. Throughout this stage, never miss an opportunity to question things about which you're uncertain or to challenge viewpoints. Getting issues out in the open now will save much potential pain in the future. By the end of this intensive process, you'll have a much stronger idea about compatibility and suitability. You can ask yourself, do I like and respect this person? Is the feeling mutual? There might be a part of you that can rely on the same sort of instinct that Fernandez and Zvereva displayed in their remarkable partnership. There might be a part of you that can rely on the same sort of instinct that Fernandez and Zvereva displayed in their remarkable partnership. There's a lot to be said for gut instinct. If either this or the evidence are not strongly in favor, it might be time to rethink your strategy. To summarize, investigations for a partnership agreement provide an opportunity to conduct due diligence on your candidate's behavior and performance. There are three elements to explore: personality, history, and values. How do your own answers and attributes compare with those of your potential partner? Are there significant gaps? Your action steps. Consider the possibility of working with your prospective partner on a couple of test projects so that you can assess performance and compatibility and make sure that their actions really do match their words. Also, invite your intended to take a personality assessment, such as the Berkman test. Share your own results with him or her.